Word on the street on Off the Ball.
Unfortunately, I think my word in the studio is just going to be nuance.
Nuance?
Yeah, it's kind of good. That's just my word in the studio.
Word on the street, available now on Go Loud app.
Off the Ball.
Stephen Bradley, Shamrock Rovers head coach. Great to speak to you before the new season. Just to get straight into it, I suppose, and ask you first about Ronan Finn coming in as the new director of football of Shamrock Rovers. Does that change things? Does he kind of come in and do the same thing that Steve McPhail was doing, or how does it all work?
Yeah, look, first of all, we were gutted to lose Steve, and he's such a big part of what we've done, and I'm sure we'd still lean on him for advice and just have a chat with him about how we're going. But I felt Ronan was the natural one to come in, and thankfully the club felt that as well on the board. And Ronan will do it in a slightly different way to Stephen. Stephen was more really hands-on on the training ground and in the coach's room, which was brilliant for me. But Ronan will do it more in an executive role and be based out of Tallaght Stadium. But I think it's a perfect fit for the club, and he knows the club, he's helped build the culture at the club, and he understands what the club is about.
I think it says a lot about the league and how far we have come that we've got three players heading to the World Cup hopefully this summer, and you've even got Max Mata coming to play in the League of Ireland to try and get his place in the New Zealand World Cup squad. Obviously Pico Lopez has the World Cup to look forward to this summer. Does that interfere with Shamrock Rovers' season in the long term, or in your own plans?
Yeah, look, you have to plan obviously for Pico to be missing for the best part of 5 weeks, but we knew this a possibility last year, long before he qualified, so that's been part of the recruitment process and the planning. But look, I think the first part of the season is really heavy, and Pico will be there for that, but we have planned for him to be missing 4 to 5 weeks.
Victor Osimhunvuna, his last year at the club before he moves to Arsenal. I think a lot of people have watched in admiration of him and the way he's progressed at Shamrock Rovers, and also the way you've kind of handled his introduction into the senior setup. I think he made 16 appearances last season. Do you expect him to make more this season?
Yeah, please God, injuries are coming to him. He didn't have many injuries last year. He just was grown, and we needed to protect him in that moment and not push him. We know that's the real vulnerable state for a teenager and a young kid. But now his body's completely settled, and he looks really good in pre-season. And like I said, if injuries allow, the whole league will see what Victor's about this year and see him more regular and more often, and see what we've seen for a long, long time. But he's working extremely hard. He's in a good place, and looking forward to seeing him play.
Jake Mulroney, one of the, I suppose, interesting signings you made during the closed season. Look, anybody that's seen playing the league knows how talented he is, but maybe quite mercurial, maybe lacking that bit of consistency. Is that something you feel you need to work on him as a player? And do you think he can be a success at Rovers?
I've no doubt he can. We wouldn't have worked so hard to get Jake in the door if we didn't feel he improves us and we can improve him. The one thing I love about Jake is he's ready to work. He's focused. He looks really, really fit. And he's ready to work, and I've no doubt with this team Jake will show his best qualities, and again, really, really looking forward to seeing him play in this team.
Just the last player I want to ask you about, Enda Stevens, player who knows Shamrock Rovers so well, and he had great success at Rovers before going on to have an incredible career in the UK. He's got Premier League experience, Championship experience, I suppose play that Sheffield United team that was so tactically innovative under Chris Wilder. Could we see him playing that roving John Egan role maybe from the Shamrock Rovers back three?
Yeah, it was part of thinking of bringing Enda in, and he's played the system quite well before. He understands it inside out. Little tweaks we have to bring to his game. We have to get him up to speed. He's still a little bit behind just because he hasn't played in some time, but his quality is there for all to see. He's working really hard, and the level that Enda's played at throughout his career, you don't lose that. He still has the hunger, and really, again, really looking forward to getting him in the group. He's been brilliant around on and off the pitch, working hard, and yeah, he bring that know-how, experience, understanding of the league, and then the quality that he has is second to none. So I think a really, really big addition for us.
Just on the age profile of the squad, Stephen, it's something people have commented on over the last couple of years. Like, is that something you think about regards to future signings, or are you not concerned? Do you feel it's the age profile you need to win titles and to progress in Europe?
Now, we're very mindful of our age profile, and we have been for a long, long time. Our age profile is bang on where we need it to be, and it has been for a number of years. The players obviously age as the years go on and the transition happens in terms of new blood coming in. That's normal, that's football, that's life. But if you look at our average age profile the last few years, it's right where it needs to be. And it's something we're very, very mindful of, and have been for a number of years, that you can't be too high, obviously, can't be too low. There's a sweet spot that you need to hit regarding average age if you want to try and compete. And we've been out there for a number of years, and I think the squad's in a good place in that regard.
I spoke to Paul Heffernan, the Bray Wanderers head coach, not too long before yourself, and he was talking about sitting down with the squad before the season, just using their last couple of playoff appearances as motivation. Like, I'm thinking about you and trying to motivate your squad every season. Like, when you've got so many players that have won everything in the game, how do you sit? Like, do you have a sit down meeting with that squad at the start of the season, say, right, this is our goal, is this what we do? Is that how you motivate them?
Yeah, that's part of it, but it's also if you feel that the desire to improve every day is not there, well then people have to move on, and that's the way the club is, and that's the standards that they've set and we've set. That's the culture we have. What we've won is done, it's gone. It's something we talk about in 20, 30 years' time. It's not for now, it's done, it's forgotten about. No one, when we kick off against Dundalk Friday week, Dundalk aren't coming and saying we have to let these just play freely, they're the double champions. No one cares about that. It's done, we need to move on and be ready for the next challenge. And it's a challenge of being ready to try and improve every day, and being ready to show up every day. It's not just the Friday, it's not just lifting the trophy at the end of the year. It's that challenge, and have you got that desire and that hunger to be better every day and push yourself every day? If you have, well then what will be. If you haven't, well then this club and this team isn't for you. And that's how we approach every year, and this year is no different. If we get a feeling or a sense that desire to show up every day and improve is lacking in any way from staff or players, well then this club won't be for them very long.
You mentioned Dundalk, first game of the season in the league. We're going to have it live and off the ball on the Friday night. Kieran Kilduff has assembled, looks like a pretty decent squad there, and he's got some good young talent there, the likes of Harry Groom. How do you, I suppose, go into a game like that? It's a bit of, I suppose, a game you're going into the unknown.
I agree with you. I think he's assembled a really good squad, a really good team. We've watched all the pre-season games. It's quite clear their identity. It's quite clear what they're going to bring to the league. They're really dangerous in wide areas, dangerous up front. Midfield have talented young players. We know that they've bought an experience around that. It's going to be a difficult game. There's been a few people talking about Dundalk in terms of relegation fight. I've watched them 3 times, so I don't see that whatsoever. I think they're a team that will surprise a lot of people this year. They've got real quality and a clear identity, and Kieran's obviously a good manager, so it's going to be a tough game for us.
A couple of quick ones to ask at the end. Video assistant referees, Stephen, something that seems to be angering people in the UK more and more as the weeks go by. A lot of the League of Ireland fans love the League of Ireland because there is no VAR. Where do you come down?
Look, I think the whole point of bringing VAR in was to make it clearer, black and white. All you've done is add another opinion. And when you add another opinion to the 3 officials, the 4th official that's there in the stadium, you're just asking for trouble. It was supposed to make it clear, black and white, no grey areas. No one knows what a handball is now in the box. Nobody knows what an offside is, what steam is offside. Are you interfering with play? Are you in front of the goalkeeper's eye line? Letting the offside go until the move is finished is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I understand technology is part of life in football, and it's not going anywhere. But for it to be brought into this country, I wouldn't be for that right now. I think it's, like I said, you're just adding another opinion to so many other opinions. If it's going to make it clearer, black and white, quicker, if the crowd understand what's going on, well then it can help. But right now, in England, it's chaos. It's no one knows what's happening. Like I said, there's a guy sitting 50 kilometres away making a decision on a game that he's no emotional involvement in. And people say that might be a good thing. It's not a good thing because it's still his opinion. It's not black and white. It's not like rugby. Football's not like rugby where it's quite clear what are felt and what isn't felt. We've gone into an area where there's so much grey now. Nobody knows what's happening. Is it handball? Is it not handball? Like I said, is he offside? Is he interfering with the goalkeeper? Nobody knows anymore. So for me, it's I understand why they've brought it in, but it needs so much tweaking. And it needs to be looked at in real detail if it's going to improve the game. Because right now it's not improving the game. There's no doubt about it.
And look, something I'm sure you're well aware of as well, because you'd know all about underage soccer around the country. We've been speaking about it on Off the Ball the last couple of nights. Just to get your views on what the issues are here. And then look, it's something you have to delve into deeply. But is there anything kind of quick off the top of your head you feel that we're not doing in relation to kids not getting enough football contact throughout the autumn and winter months in this country because of the conditions?
I think it's quite clear facilities. I think we played in Scandinavia so many times the last few years. There's astro pitches and domes every couple of miles. It's an obvious one. Kids have places to play, they'll play. The time of us playing in the street is slightly gone for different reasons. You can see street footballers now stick out a mile. But I think if we give them facilities like Astro Torres, all weather that they can play on all year, that can only help, you know. So there's so much, you can go into so much what needs to improve. But for me, we can't have kids averaging one game every 3 or 4 months. And again, we've all been talking about this for I don't know how long. And unless we change it, we're going to be talking about it in the next 10 years. So it's a real pity. We are moving in the right direction with football in terms of investment, but that's a big one. We can't forget about grassroots, and we can't forget about providing the facilities for the next generation to play on. Like I said, come probably the start of November, you don't play till February. That can't be good for anyone, you know.
This is Off the Ball.